9:05, welcome back to the Chad Acey Show on News Talk 790 KFYO. Online, KFYO.com, and of course with your Radio Pup app, you can take the show wherever you go. You can take KFYO programming all throughout the United States. You can listen to the show, the station, wherever you may be traveling during the holiday season. 770-5790, toll free, 1-800-687-0790. Those are phone numbers. Ariel Walden, the first voice you hear from when you dial into today's program. And joining me in studio, it's been a while since we've had him in studio, but Councilman Todd Klein, welcome back to the show.
Chad, thank you for having me on. It has been a while.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Well, I appreciate you coming in. You know, we've had the mayor on a few times, but it's always good, I think, to get different perspectives on the city council because you all think differently. And you all have your separate thoughts on what's been going on. Let's start off a little bit just with what happened yesterday, because it is the latest news, with tornado sirens. And that's something that may not be on the top of mind of a lot of people right now, but later on in next year, it will be on the top of mind of some people out there, right?
That's right. A little concerned about the slowness of the process. The committee was supposed to have reported back October 1, and that's really on the council and not the committee. Before then, I'd attempted to sort of get a preliminary to queue us up, and that didn't go anywhere. We are where we are. Cost is a factor to anything, whether it's a family budget or a city budget. But bottom line, timing is, I think, the issue. If you were to boil it down to one word for me, timing, and then secondly, deployment. We've got to figure out if the public is there for tornado sirens. This can't be simply an academic exercise. But for the grace of God, we didn't get hit last year with the tornado while discussing whether or not we should have tornado sirens. It would be, I think, unforgivable if we did, in a situation next spring, God forbid, have a situation where we're saying, okay, at this point we recognize the need to go forward with tornado sirens. It's ultimately the recommendation of the committee. And if the public's there and we're not ready, and I'm afraid we can't get all of it deployed between now and March, April, into certainly the beginning of May. But if that's the desire, and I'm wanting to hear from your listeners and the public at large on this issue, I work for the public, and I think this is a big issue. Mm-hmm. I can live with not doing tornado sirens if the overwhelming cry is we don't want them. I received over 3,000 email. I'm in the last year of a second term. I've never received 3,000 emails on any issue, much less all of them saying we want tornado sirens. That's the point I've been trying to make to my colleagues and been throwing out to the public. I've got a coffee on Saturday at 10:30 at Market Street on 50th. I hope to hear more feedback, but we've got to get moving if that's what we want. And if that's the case, can we look at deploying outer ring type arrangements and also large open outdoor public spaces first and foremost? So there are ways to get there. Nothing's a panacea. It won't be a silver bullet to have these. But whenever it comes to public safety, I think priority one with a budget our size, you can get there. Cost will not be the driving aspect. Timing is, and how you deploy them within that reference, also critical.
Yesterday, this task force, it reported to the city council, or it reported a mass notification process system as well as sirens.
That's right.
To be part of this. And I guess going forward, the big question is going to be how much is all of this going to cost, right?
Bingo.
Is that it for the city council?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I was a little surprised. The mayor and the committee have been looking at this for a long time, and I thought we were going to have an RFP presentation last night. We had instead something that said, well, you know, we've combined sirens and mass notification in such a way that we conflate vendors and it may not get us the best bang for the buck. I would have thought that would have been separated, but we've got to go forward now and get that done as quickly as possible. Again, time is of the essence. If the desire is not to do it at the end of the day, being a little late to the game won't be a problem. If the desire is we want sirens, and I think that's probably where the public's going to come down, we've got to get moving. This is a real-world situation, and it's not about, you know, academically, simply how long can we debate this to death. It's about getting moving, getting forward. The cost, we don't know for sure for the reasons I just kind of alluded to.
Have you heard any figures thrown out there?
When I talk to experts in the area, because I'm certainly not one at all, I wouldn't even consider myself much more than a generalist, but as a private citizen serving on the council, I met with a good half dozen folks at from Justin at the National Weather Service to other folks that have really made either a hobby, a vocation, or a profession out of looking at how you do this and how much it typically costs. I've heard somewhere in the neighborhood of $3.75 million, which sounds a little more specific than maybe you can get there, but let's call that $4 million to $6 million. And I heard last night, you know, at least one member say maybe it's $8 million. But let's say it's $4 to $8 million. Budget our size, you can get there, even if you had to cut other stuff. But you could also look at CO bonds, where the council, as opposed to an election, allocates that money. Or you could do a general election, but you're looking at November at that point in time. So you have to hope and pray that you don't have a tornado come through and that you didn't need sirens that you don't have. So timing is an issue. Public input is critical to making that happen.
You've obviously had quite a few people who are in favor contacting you, and we've had quite a few who have contacted us in favor of sirens. But we've also had opposition, and part of that opposition has said it's old technology, that you know, with people have smartphones now, they have an app, it can alert you. People who have weather radios, they need to rely on that, that you just can't rely on tornado sirens. What do you say to the critics of sirens?
Old school technology, because you usually hear that from, I'm 45, so I don't consider myself, I may be the youngest member of the council, and so sometimes I get references, well, you're the young guy. Age 45, you're not the young guy in any context. You're probably a good 10 years younger than I am, Chad. You're demographic and younger. I hear it regularly from, you know, when I'm talking to college age, well, you know, isn't there more newer opportunities? You've got applications and all sorts of stuff with smartphones. The key is redundancy. We launched shuttles to the point of just a few years ago using 1970s and 1980s software and console components. You still see us flying planes using 1930s, 40s, et cetera, technology. Just because it's been proven doesn't mean it should automatically be discredited. In fact, because it's been proven, I think is a reason to look at it. But it comes to a multitude of options. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's infallible.
Right.
So having tornado sirens is a key aspect, I would think. I'm looking to the public on that issue. And I will say, sort of the lead was buried last night when it came to the committee's report. You had Justin with the National Weather Service come forward, described as an expert by myself this morning and by the chairman last night. And he said something I thought was critically important. He said, when we had this Haboob, it's such a funny sounding name, but this massive dirt storm last October of 11, we saw smartphones going down and rendered only to texting, and that was a slow process in getting those texts out. You need redundancy when it comes to public safety, I would argue, and I would think the public would be looking at that also. But if the key aspect is bearing the lead, sometimes the things that we consider to be the replacement technology is most vulnerable during these potential events,
right,
then you really have a key argument, which is you may not have as much redundancy as you think, and you may be more solely relying on sirens in some of these events as a possibility.
It is 9:14. We need to go ahead and take the break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. A lot more to get into in the final segment with Councilman Todd Klein. We'll talk LP&L and much more. Back on the Chad AC Show, News Talk 790 KFYO. Councilman Todd Klein in studio with me this morning. And Councilman, of course, the tornado siren debate, it'll continue. Let's move on to LP&L. And there was a story yesterday about Texas Tech students are going to go around doing a survey. LP&L will, of course, be included in that. We talked about your comments in the AJ story. What do you think about the situation with LP&L, and with the big turnover that you have on the electric utility board right now, do you think that will go a long ways? And I don't know if mending fences is the right phrase there, but
I follow you.
Getting things back on track.
I hope so. In public life, perception is often reality. And my position was one of two things. If we need to clean the slate, we'll clean the slate. Is there an opportunity I'm hearing from the public, both in public comments and elsewhere, to say, have this investigation, wrap up the investigation, and then make your appointments accordingly? That was my preferred position. Absent that, it was time to clean the slate. We've got good people that are serving, have served. It's not an issue of that. But how do we restore trust and confidence? Part of it's going to be the symbolic gesture, if nothing else, of we hear you and we're going to clean the slate. But there's also a substantive issue, which is I need you to move faster as a council member. I've been just about pleading, if not begging, the board for a number of months to say, look, you got to move forward. Nothing's going to negate nor offend your ego or existence by having a task force. So have one. It is an opportunity for those that are most involved, who attend the meetings, and others to come out and to express themselves, to maybe even vent if necessary. But I think you've got a lot of people that say, I'm concerned, but have constructive criticisms and ideas to offer. And you don't have a board large enough to incorporate all of those views and people. But you can have a task force that becomes an official part of that process. And that information feedback loop, as I alluded to yesterday in an article as you were talking about, I believe we work at the local level and we have an obligation to circulate with the people we work for, board or council, and to hear from people in a way that reinforces trust and confidence. The other thing I've been asking the board to do for a period of time is we've got to do a stability plan. In fact, since 2011, I've been arguing for that. If you look at a way to balance out spikes, we had an energy/fuel purchase power agreement rate increase, and that's what hammered people. And I fear that may hammer us again. I don't know. I can't predict, or I'd be a very rich man, what natural gas is about to do 6 to 8 months from now. But I do know there's that possibility. If we don't get busy now, just like timing is an issue with tornado sirens, it's an issue now. We can't continue to have meetings where we discuss it. I've been attempting to bring this forward several times to no avail. But we've got to have a board initiate, because the council has already said, thanks, but no thanks. We're not going to give direction to the board or supportive regards to stability. For whatever reason, I respect that. That's part of the process. But the message has got to be, time is of the essence. Get a stability plan. If we had one in back from 11, we might have avoided most, if not all, of 13. We can't have 14 look like 13. Won't be acceptable, and I don't see how you sustain an LPNL if you don't restore confidence and trust. So you've got that. Can you look at a issue of affordability? I think there are ways to, if we can put a man on the moon, to address a lot of the concerns, but we've got to get there quickly.
Well, when it comes to LPNL, the mayor has brought up this committee that he wants to form, looking ahead at 2019 and power in 2019. He wants to put together a small committee himself, I assume himself, and some members of the electric utility board. He says, you know what, 16 people, that's too big of a group to make a big decision. Do you agree with him on that? Does there need to be a smaller decision-making entity when it comes to 2019, or does this need to does this need to be between the electric utility board and city council and everybody involved?
You know, you've got the council that's got to be a part of this. The unofficial ex officio members are all of the council members. We ultimately have a charter that says we oversee rates, budget, bonding aspects, and also eminent domain. So ultimately, the supreme authority still rests with the council.
Sure.
As I read it, I think the city's constitution, the city's charter speaks to that. So I don't think it's much of a stretch. You read what's there, and I think it's pretty clear to me or any other average citizen what's out there. I just don't think you have to have an expertise to not recognize that it involves both boards. So in that regard, if you wanted to add as part of a task force, I think you can look at public service in general. I wouldn't immediately oppose it. I've never heard from the mayor on this issue, so I'd like to know more information before I spoke to it more thoroughly. And we do need to have more conversation amongst council members and the board in a constructive way. The infighting's got to stop. We've got to look at the big picture. And that's one of those things that keeps me up at night. Will we get to 2018. 2019 infers that June 1, we fired up just to see what happens. Can't do that. It's like tornado sirens. We're not dealing with academic exercises. This is not a debating society. This is a governing board. By, I would say, at least 12 months in advance, you've got to be up and running to know if we're going to get there. And so time is absolutely of the essence. First and foremost, before we add another component, and I'm not ruling out task forces. I've argued for it writ large. But we've got to have a strong and productive discussion amongst council and the board and between the two bodies on this big issue. I fear we may be getting behind schedule. I'm asking for a quarterly report at the next council meeting or at least first meeting in December. We've got to hear from the board and management on this issue. We've got to know regularly, not only because we require quarterly reports now, but because there's value in hearing where we're at on this issue. The public needs to know we're on schedule and on budget.
When it comes to not the Electric Utility Board, but LP&L management, LP&L leadership, how much confidence do you have in LP&L leadership right now and in management?
I would put it this way. I'm wanting to hear more information as to where we're at on 2018. That determines all of this, right? I mean, that's the big issue. You can't have a city without water, and it's hard to have one without electricity as well. So those are big issues.
The mayor has expressed he doesn't have much confidence whatsoever in LP&L leadership. But do you agree with him on that?
I would put it this way. The way to take a bite at this apple and have a productive relationship and make a fair assessment is have a reporting as to where we're at on generation, have this discussion on issues of, for example, the investigation. Let's find out where we're on that. But I will tell you, there was a mistake made recently by the board in terms of giving a salary increase to the newly hired, not just recently, but newly hired city attorney. There's no justification for a $60,000 or $6 increase. We've got to get away from wage inflation and this kind of we're spending other people's money. When I ran for office, I said there's an opium war, OPM, other people's money. There's no justification. A mistake was made. We can respectfully simply get that fixed. The new board and existing board members, I hope, will step up. We've got a meeting on Tuesday. Get it solved then or queue it up to get it solved at a next called meeting so that we can put this behind us. If not, as a council member, I'm going to be looking at any and all possibilities to get it rectified, but hopefully it doesn't have to come up to the council. The mistake was made at the board level. I can respect that mistakes are made, but it does need to get fixed.
I have just a couple of minutes left. I want to get in a few different things. Real quickly, the Avalanche Journal today, they've got an editorial, comes out in support of a texting while driving ban. You've made some comments on a texting while driving ban. Should the city of Lubbock come in, pass a new policy, a new law that bans texting while driving?
Two separate things, because you frame it well, but let me separate it out. I support a ban on people texting and driving, but you've got those laws. You don't need new laws, and when it comes to tornado sirens or anything else, you don't want to create a false sense of security or confidence. So nothing's going to be a perfect situation. The most dangerous thing you or any of our listeners will do today is going to be driving on the roadways. We need to make the roads safer, but we do that with existing manpower. Or if we need more manpower, that's a separate argument. But we do it with existing laws.
Okay.
You don't create new laws to replace existing laws. It's called a redundancy. It erodes confidence in the rule of law, and it also infers that there's some way to make things safer than we already have. And it's an insult, though it's not intended, to our men and women that are out on the roadways in uniform as a police. They're doing everything they can already to address this issue. The notion that additional laws will somehow hermetically seal us from danger is a falsity, and it's not acceptable or appropriate for us to insinuate that somehow there's going to be a cure by just adding a different law, an additional law. We don't need to. It's a redundant aspect. I'm a fiscal conservative and a libertarian, liberty-minded individual. I can never accept adding new laws when we already have enough rules on the rule book.
A few weeks ago, a story from KCBD that came out. There's a group in town that wants to ban smoking inside restaurants and bars. That they would come through, pass a new city ordinance to ban smoking in restaurants and bars. Your thoughts on
Interesting.
That?
Interesting. Had not heard that one before. I think we've got a situation where we've already got the private sector working on this issue, and quite frankly, I don't see that as being a current issue, and we have plenty of serious issues currently to deal with.
Councilman Todd Klein, appreciate your time as always. What time again is that coffee
this Saturday, 50th in Indiana Market Street at 10:30. I welcome all your listeners and anybody in the public. Come out. I work for you, and I want to hear where you're at on tornado sirens, Goedeke Library, and other issues.
All right, Councilman, thank you very much.